Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Okay, moving on to the following hadith, hadith number 267. Who will read that for us? Yes, the brother there.
Uqbah ibn Amir reported, "My sister took a vow that she would walk barefooted to the sacred masjid of Makkah. She asked me to inquire from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it. I asked the Prophet and he said, he should walk on foot and ride."
Okay, the hadith is about a vow. But this vow is not a form of worship. She vowed that she would walk barefooted from Medina to Mecca, which is about on foot maybe 6 days or a week. And then she realized that walking barefooted and walking that distance is too much. So she asked Uqba to ask the Prophet ﷺ, who in turn said that this is not a form of worship. It's different than when you pledge or vow a form of worship than when you vow something that is permissible. So in this case, the Prophet told her والسلام, that she should ride, and if she wants to walk, she may walk as well. And this is what brings us to vows that are permissible, not forms of worship. In these cases, scholars say that you have the right to fulfill it, to go ahead with it. And if you don't, then you may give expiation of swearing, as if it's considered to be something that you swore about. For example, if I say, I vow to drive my car to work every day, and today I want to go by the train or by bus, should I fulfill my vow or not? They say, going or using the car is not a form of worship. So you have the right to change your mind, to do whatever you want, but because you use the word vow, this is becoming like saying, wallahi, I will do this. So it would take the ruling of swearing. And whatever takes the ruling of swearing in making you do something or stay away from something, this is not a vow. They say that this takes the ruling of swearing. For example, if I say, I vow, if I smoke again, that I will fast a whole month. Scholars say that the vow is to prevent you from smoking. Or if I say, I vow that I pray every single Fajr in the masjid, and if I miss it, then I will do this or that. Again, this is to force you to do something. So they say that if it's to force you not to do, or to force you to do, this takes the ruling of swearing. Okay, hadith number 368. Yes.
Narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, Saad bin Ubadah consulted Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on an unfulfilled vow that his mother had before she died. The Prophet said, fulfill it on her behalf.
Okay, now Sa'd ibn Ubadah, may Allah be pleased with him, came to the Prophet wasallam, telling him that his mother has a vow that was unfulfilled. She could not have the time to perform it or to do it or to fulfill it, and she died. So what to do? The Prophet said, والسلام, fulfill it on her behalf. And this is in regards to obligatory and mandatory acts that a person wants or wanted to do but was unable due to his sudden death. And among the very famous is, for example, fasting. If someone vows to fast, if a person vows to fast a week, and he dies. Now, is fasting this week mandatory upon him or not? It is mandatory upon him. So it is for the heirs, for the sons, for the daughters, to fast on their parent or their mother's behalf. For the hadith of Ubadah, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, may Allah be pleased with him, the head of the tribe of Al-Khazraj, of Al-Ansar. But if the pledge was, or the vow was something financial, does it become mandatory or not? The scholars say that this becomes part of the will, that is one third of the inheritance. Because if a man says, vow to give 10,000 euros as charity, and he does not have time to fulfill his vow, in this case, we have to take this amount from what he had left behind, because this was mandated upon his life. So it should be given. What about if a person dies and not fasting Ramadan? Is this considered to be as a vow as well? It's an issue of dispute. Yani, if my father dies and he has 5 days of Ramadan he did not make up for, should I make up for these 5 days? It's an issue of dispute. But if my father died with 5 days as a vow, in this case, yes, I have to. And this is highly recommended for the heirs to fulfill that vow and to fast it. And it so appears, even with the days missed from Ramadan, if the deceased was able to make them up but did not, he recovered and he had time. He was able to make them up, but he didn't. In this case, that it is recommended for the heirs to make up for these days, but it's not mandatory. If he was unable to make up for these days because his illness continued, then no one makes up for them, and it's not mandatory, and he's not sinful, because Allah does not burden a soul more than what it can bear. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Okay, moving on to Hadith 367. If you have any questions, one question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
In Hadith 366, the Prophet forbade the making of vows. Then how is it halal?
We've stated this in the very beginning. We said that making a vow, initiating a vow, is something that the Prophet forbade us from doing. But once a person makes a vow, then he has to fulfill it. It is not permissible for you to make a vow to begin with, because it is mandating something that Allah did not mandate upon you. Why do it? But if you do it both ways and you say, no, I want to fast Mondays and Thursdays if Allah cures my child, and the child is cured, then you have to fulfill your vow. Yes.
What is the expiation if you're not able to fulfill your vow?
Well, this again falls under the same category. If someone vows to fast every Monday and Thursday, and after 20, 30 years, he becomes too old and he's unable to fast the Mondays and Thursdays, he should go to the expiation, which is feeding a poor person every Monday and Thursday. But if he vowed, for example, to pray, a night prayer, that is, 2 hours every night, and now he's too old, he cannot pray, neither sitting down at all. In this case, if he reaches a dead end, or if he vows to give $1 million to someone or to the poor and he doesn't have except $50, then he has to expiate, as we do when we swear to do something and not be able to do it, or we want to change our minds. But this is only in cases of being unable. Not that someone said, I vowed to fast Mondays and Thursdays, now I'm fed up, I feel like changing. Are you able? Yes, I am able. But I don't want to, khalas, I changed my mind. Can I pay expiation? The answer is no. As long as you committed yourself, you have to do it until you die.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
My question is, that if a man, he vows that I will pay such amount to a charity, but before completing the amount, he dies. So does his heirs have to complete the amount for the charity to be given, because the man has died and is the part of the inheritance, as are capable of fulfilling the amount of the charity?
I think I've addressed this issue and said that when a person vows something in his life, meaning that it should be executed immediately, if he dies, it has to be fulfilled. It is different than a will. If, for example, I say, I vow to give €1,000 to charity, and then I die, it should be taken out from my wealth and given to the charity so it would be fulfilled. But if I say in my will that I will give so and so after I die, this becomes a will. I can only write a will in less than 1/3 of my wealth. So we have to look at the things that I wanted to say. If it's less than 1/3, to be fulfilled. If it's more, only 1/3 of it is given away to charity and the rest goes to the inheritors, the people who are inheriting. Well, I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.